Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The cross is a point of discussion when we witness to the lost, because Jesus dying on it paid for our sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the cross is the bridge that gets us out of hell and into heaven. But so much more happened for us that day at Calvary. So join in the conversation as we discover the benefits of the cross beyond salvation. Where we want to go today with just what the Lord did for us on the cross.
Well, let's establish the fact that even though the cross was something that we have in our Bible, there are historical accounts of it apart from the scriptures, men who wrote history at that time. And so since the cross happened here on Golgotha, outside of Jerusalem, and there were witnesses and there were other people on the cross, it's very easy for us to see the cross as a solution for lost man on earth with an earthly fulfillment. And Sharon, that definitely has truth. But the cross was decided upon before the foundations of the world, in the mind of God. He knew his plan and purpose. He knew the speed bumps that would be caused because of sin and self and Satan and all of the things that would prevent God's purpose and plan from becoming an eternal reality. So the first thing we really need to look at today is the fact that the cross is eternal, with an eternal purpose. The cross is spiritual. When his own disciples were talking to him about his departure, and he said, "I'm going to send the Spirit, and he'll convict you of righteousness and sin and judgment to come." And then he said, "And there's a lot more things that I would like to tell you, but you can't bear them right now." Well, why did he say that to the disciples? Because they had an earthly agenda. They had an earthly purpose. They wanted to set up an earthly kingdom, and it was not the appropriate time.
And sit on his right and left.
That's right. And they were already arguing about that. Yeah. And so he knew to try to give them some of the other gifts in the bundle of the cross that they would not comprehend it, and it would just cause more strife and contention. He knew they had to go through some fire. He knew they had to see his death, burial, and resurrection to make his words alive. And the scriptures show us that they didn't really get it until after the resurrection.
Right.
Because then it was a cemented reality. So if we can accept the fact that the cross is the eternal fulfillment of a spiritual dilemma created by man. Now that's a big statement.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to repeat it. It is an eternal fulfillment of a spiritual dilemma created by man. Man was made in the original state to be eternal, but the fall kind of put a parenthesis on us being able to have that enjoyment as a way of life. But the Lord then, in the appropriate time, and God Almighty, never being late, sent his Son, born in a manger, living a very quiet life for 30 years and 3 years of public ministry, to go to the cross and resume the eternal plan and purpose that we all can be a part of. The gift of salvation is just free. Ephesians 2:8-9. He did all the work. He paid the price. He was the substitute. He qualified as the lamb that could be slain before the foundations of the world. Okay? So that was all taking place. But then in Romans 6:6, Sharon, that we've talked about so much, it says, and that we've been crucified with him. Well, that's a little bit of a different twist. What's your take on all of a sudden, all of the free gift that we have, saying that we've been crucified with him before the foundation?
I'm telling you, that is hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Yes. And so what do? We have to go back to what you and I have said many times, and that is when God Almighty speaks something, it becomes a reality at the time he speaks it. He spoke it before the foundations of the world. Now, if everybody that is going to be a part of his family was crucified with him, can you figure out a word picture of here we've got one cross, one horizontal piece of wood, one vertical piece of wood, one horizontal piece of wood that one man was hanging on, and yet God deemed that everybody was crucified with Christ at that point in time? And then the question is, will you accept that as truth, even though we didn't see it being worked out in reality?
Well, one of the things that I think is so important for us to grab a hold of is that the cross is a spiritual, eternal fact that goes beyond our salvation, and it takes faith.
It definitely takes faith. I like the one-liner that I believe Fireside Bookshelf had, where it said that faith in the head is the assent of the truth of God, and faith in the heart is the consent to believe what that truth has said.
And I think that's probably part of our problem. Because we can't wrap our heads around it, we don't let it descend down into our heart, because we're trying to understand it in our head.
Well, there was nothing uncomfortable about receiving salvation as a gift, other than the fact that our pride and our ego had to say we are at a point mm-hmm. of needing an outside source to help us. But when you talk to a Christian about the free gift of being crucified with Christ to set us free from the principle of sin, we find that they get a little resentful of that truth, because that now requires a death in their thinking, mm-hmm. in their lifestyle, that requires discipline, that right. requires dependence, and we aren't quite ready to go there, are we?
No. But you have quite a list of things that the cross has done for us beyond salvation. And so just some little one-liners to help us understand just a few of the things that we obtain beyond salvation. You know, Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And so I think that sometimes we get stuck in this place of I'm saved, but we don't know how to step forward beyond that salvation to live a life of salvation.
Well, I think one of the things that you and I have both talked about in older broadcast is the fact that the blood took care of our sins, our attitudes, our actions that our old nature created.
Okay.
So the blood took care of the sins. It paid the penalty for us. But the sin principle, that old nature, the Adamic nature, the blood couldn't do anything with, because you see, the old nature is never going to accept forgiveness. The old nature is never going to change. Our old ways are never going to improve. You're not going to have an improved old man in heaven. He had to be crucified. So that's what is the first thing that we really need to talk about once we've talked about the blood of Jesus Christ and our sins, S-I-N-S. And then we have the sin principle, S-I-N, and that's our old self.
Okay.
That's what we don't like in people and ourselves.
Yeah.
That has to go to the cross with Jesus Christ. It did go. And now we are free to not have to be a jerk anymore.
So let me ask this question then. You know, I hear what you're saying. I hear that you know, my old flesh is crucified with Christ. But when I lose my temper at the grocery store and I act like a jerk, then what excuse do I have?
Oh!
What is that all about? It was supposed to have been crucified.
And it was, but as long as we are in unredeemed bodies, it is not necessarily nullified when we choose to go after it and pull it back up.
Oh, you mean we have a choice? Darn, Janie.
Yes. You're no longer under bondage. The cross, the resurrection has set you free. Now, before you accepted Jesus Christ for that salvation, you were under the control of the enemy. And you had to perform like a jerk because he was in control of your actions. And we know that his way of life is not an honorable way of life.
So when I do that, I'm basically putting shackles back on myself.
Yes.
So
if you lose your cool in the checkout line, if you could do a word picture of a ball and chain around your foot.
Okay.
I just chose to put a ball and chain around my foot and drag my groceries and my ball and chain to the car.
And make a spectacle of myself.
And make a spectacle. And we really do in the lack of a witness because people observe. And in fact, without getting into the scientific side, we give off a certain frequency that is a negative for people around us. We've said you walk into a room and you can feel something. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to go there with the scientific side today, but there, we create electrical charges in our body that can be very negative. In other words, if we came into the studio and you and I were not of one heart and unity, we could actually sense that in one another. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure that we wouldn't even convey that in our voices through these mics.
Yes.
And that's the importance that we have in time with prayer and being unified before we ever have the mics turned on.
Yes.
So this is a biggie, and this is where most people have been taught salvation. The cross did its work. It completed. So it's almost like we can now set the cross aside and now we're just going to go live by the Holy Spirit. But we really don't know how to live by this Holy Spirit.
Because we've laid the cross aside.
Yes. Yes. And it has done what it needs to do. But the applying of it is going to be a day by day thing as long as we live. And one of the other things that have happened at the cross that we can make a short statement on is it's freed us from law and put us into grace, unlimited grace. And the law is not just like the Ten Commandments, but the law can be anything that we have in our lives that we put before the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, such as if you want to have an attitude of anger and unforgiveness, then you can put that law over the law of what it says in Romans 8:2, that the law of the Spirit has freed us from the law of sin and death. Now, what's the law of the Spirit? The law of love. So if you're operating in the law of love at your favorite grocery store, then you're not going to be under the law of the ball and the chain. But it is your choice because you've been set free to live in that law of love. Then we've still got the nasty old world system that tempts us with what we see, what we hear, what we listen to, what we taste, what we touch. And we have been set free from the world system. The Bible says, he who gave himself for our sins, our actions and our deeds, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven, according to the will of God and our Father. And then in Galatians 6:14, it says, God forbid that I should glory, that I should want to go after, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified, not forgiven, but crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That took place before the foundations of the world that we now get to live out in daily experience, because we have been given the Spirit and the power that comes from being in Christ. And you know, we talk an awful lot, Sharon, about being in Christ and that that's our position, mm-hmm. that's our identity, that's our security. But this week, the Lord just pointed out to me, how many times have you heard it say, in God?
Never.
Okay. And yet, John 17, on unity, Christ said, Father, those that you have given me, don't take them out of the world, but protect them, keep them from the world, as I am in you and you are in me. So when we talk about being in Christ, who we kind of understand, and some people even say, well, he's the good old boy, he saved me from my sins. We have God out here as this austere form that's somewhere outside the box of the world doing whatever he's doing.
Right.
And when we used to do tests in counseling, we would ask people, who is Jesus Christ to you? What is he like? And then who is God the Father to you? And then who is your father, earthly father to you?
Mm-hmm.
We would find that the way they saw their earthly father and God the Father would be almost the same. But Jesus would be the good old boy because he came to die on the cross for us. Well, God had just as much a part in that
exactly
as Jesus Christ. But if
exactly.
they had a bad father image, they had a bad holy God father image also.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a duplicity in trying to live life here. I shouldn't even use the word trying, but yes, that's what you will be do. You will be trying,
mm-hmm.
not trusting, because you won't recognize
right.
the free gifts that you have been given.
Okay.
And then the very last thing that happened at the cross, in simplicity, is that the Satan was defeated. That's Colossians 2:14 and 15, and Hebrews 2:14 and 15. And
you know,
so when Flip Wilson said, if you're old enough to remember Flip Wilson, hey, the devil made me do it. No, it was probably your uncrucified flesh that you refuse to accept and live that Jesus Christ has crucified you with.
And you know, I've heard so many Christians blame the devil for so much. The devil did this and the devil's doing that. And it concerns me.
Well, he likes to take credit because that causes the focus to go to him and give him his own power. And
that's kind of glorifying him.
Yes.
I mean, if we look at it, Satan is evil and everything he does
is a lie.
And the things that are bad that happen in your life and you give Satan credit for it. You're kind of glorifying him for that in your life, correct?
Yes, that's
I mean, he is taking it as glory. We may not be giving it meaning to glorify him, but he takes it as glory, and we're glorifying him whether we like it or not.
And then stop and think where we were talking 15 minutes ago, that we are eternal, that our purpose here is to glorify him. And we are really saying by our own testimony or lack of, God, you're a liar. What you did on the cross, we just can't live that out. That's not a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's for when we get to heaven or
mm-hmm.
That's for some super saint. That's for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've been given the gift of freedom, and you have been given the freedom from Satan, self, the old Adamic nature, the sin principle, the sin being forgiven. I mean,
you know, you think about the Creator being here, going through such torture and torment and ridicule and pain and suffering at the hands of His own creation.
And even at the hands of His own disciples, and even at the hands of His own family, right, who did not really believe Him. Let me, if I can quickly, give a couple of lines on how Satan deceives us.
Okay.
Versus how the Holy Spirit convicts us.
Okay.
There's a difference in the nagging, corroding condemnation that the devil has. He will speak in generalities, saying, oh, Sharon, you're such a loser. Sharon, you can't do anything mm-hmm. right. He will try to smear our identity and our reputation in a very vague way of failure, confusion, heaviness of spirit, and false guilt.
You're nobody special or important or worthy.
And God can't forgive you
of
this.
God can't forgive you of
okay.
anything.
Or if He forgave you, then He's not going to have anything to do with you because He's angry at you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the enemy talking.
Okay.
And we should never allow that voice 30 seconds, anytime. On the other hand, if we do blunder under His grace, the Holy Spirit is very sweet and clean and true and acceptable. He will point out the exact point as though a hammer is coming down on the nail head. There will be an immediate conviction for action to say, oh, Father, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see this, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
Or something may have happened at school or with the kids, and you know you blew it with the kids.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, you don't go push it aside. Immediate action mm-hmm. for full restoration with communication with the Father. Because your sins have been forgiven. Now it's the fellowship that you've compromised. And the confession brings that communion and that fellowshipping back into full orb.
Okay, that's really good. Those are really good points for us to look at. Because I know He comes after us all the time to tell us that we're not good enough. We're not righteous enough. We're not smart enough. You know, we're not good enough for anything. Why would God use you there? Why would God say that to you? Why would God forgive you of anything? Look at you. You're always a failure. I mean, He's so quick to come upon us when God is using us probably the most to try to discourage us and keep us from moving forward with the Lord in our relationship with Him, in our Bible study. You know, it's easy to fall into that depression. We start looking at, you know, what other people have, especially on television. You know, they always show the most beautiful house, the mansions that are always so beautifully decorated, and the most expensive cars and the most expensive gifts. And you sit back and you think, well, I can't afford any of that. What can I give my kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have that in front of our face kind of saying, you're not good enough. And that's where Satan wants to keep us.
Well, and one final thought, and that is when we focus our thoughts on love, that there are chemical and electrical changes in our body that help to restore our health. So if we are depressed, if we are anxious, then we should center our thoughts on love. And the article I read, which was written by a non-believing doctor, said, divine love will raise your health the greatest.
Wow. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.